Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you're hearing sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, the pastor of Grace Point Church. In this episode, Pastor Ben continues a series, Uncommon Faith. This is part two. Let's listen in.
Continuing our series, Uncommon Faith. I don't know how many weeks we're going to be in here, but praise the Lord, we're just going to do it until we run out of time, huh? Or until we run out of scripture. How about that? Hebrews chapter number 11. You find your way there. We'll look. Sermon number two in the series, Uncommon Faith. Uncommon Faith. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10 this morning. While you're, have you ever followed what you thought was God's will and ended up in a mess?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you do what you think is right, you do what you think you're being led to do, and then you end up in just, it's a mess. And then what do you initially do? Don't you always ask yourself the question, what did I do wrong? Anybody ever ask that? What did I do wrong? Well, I've got news for you. You're not alone. If you ever find yourself there, just be happy that you joined the club.
Amen.
Right? Well, what club is that? Well, I've called it the Feeling Like You're Failing Faith Walkers Fellowship. You know? You ever been in that club?
Oh, yeah.
Daily. Feeling Like You're Failing Faith Walkers Fellowship. Woo! Well, guess what? Here's the good news, if you can call it good news if you want. You're not alone, amen? By the responses you heard from the folks gathered here today, it's not something that is uncommon. We all find ourselves there at some time. And guess what? We're in good company. I mean, every major hero in the Bible found themselves in that position as well. You think about it, Peter, David, Noah, Gideon, Sarah, Job, Jacob, and on and on and on the list goes. And today we're going to be looking at one of those. It's a man who we call, or we've dubbed, the Father Abraham. How many of you remember the chorus as a kid? Father Abraham had many sons. You got it. All right, we don't have to sing the whole thing. Trust me, okay? Yeah, you're going to get into it. You're going to stand up and do the turnaround stuff, all that stuff, right? It's your extra song, Father Abraham. As we find ourselves there, we're going to look this morning at this and focus on him. He was a man, undoubtedly, who lived by faith. And living by faith, Abraham went on faith's incredible journey. And I would submit to you that you and I, as children of God, when we follow the will of God, nothing could better describe that journey but incredible. How many of you have been there? You know what I'm talking about. There are twists and turns that this life brings that just can't be explained. Right?
Yep.
Only God could have the imagination to lead us where he leads us sometimes.
Amen.
Right? Faith's incredible journey. How many of you... All right. Faith's incredible journey. Let's think about Abraham. We all know the story of Abraham, right? We first meet him when? We meet him in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. And Abraham is called, and he sets out on this incredible journey. So what is it that we learn about this journey? Well, my prayer is that today, as we focus on him, we're going to see and extrapolate and learn some things for ourselves as to what life's faith journey means for you and me. Did you know that the life of a Christian is not scripted point by point? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that every time that we stop and say, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and then Lord, by your grace, this is going to happen, and we're going to move here, and everything's going to come up peaches and cream, rosy, and everything's going to be great, then we're going to die, and we're going to go to heaven, and it's all going to be cool because you listen to me, Lord.
Yeah.
Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Guess what? Things don't happen that way, right?
Right.
Boy, Abraham sure figured it out, and he figured it out rather quickly. So as we think about this, we see Abraham, a man who lived by faith, and he lived by faith, we sometimes forget, at great personal sacrifice. We first meet him 4,000 years ago in Ur of Chaldees. He's on the banks of the Euphrates River. Abraham was middle-aged. He was prosperous. Things looked good. He was married to the love of his life. Everything looked great. Then God speaks, and faith's journey begins. And then what changes Abraham's life ends up altering the course of all humanity. And this is a great place for the believer this morning to insert an amen.
Amen.
Thank God it did. Amen?
That's right.
So let's see what faith's incredible journey means. First of all, faith's incredible journey means accepting God's call comes without a map. Accepting that God's call comes without a map. Have you ever been somewhere before GPS?
Yep.
Any of you old enough to remember before GPS? Yeah, I know I'm smart, but I'm just being nice, okay?
I know I remember.
Before you could plug an address into your phone and know how to get there, anybody ever try reading a map and following it? Have you ever been driving somewhere and you had your spouse beside you, and I can talk about it because she's not here, but your spouse beside you and she's following the map and she's telling you where you're going to go. But something happens to your confidence when you see her going.
Yeah.
Turn left. No, right. Right? You ever been there?
No.
Yeah, and I'm talking about her like, you know, normally she's driving and I'm the one holding the map. So there you go. You do that. I remember we moved to Dallas, and in Dallas, this was a big city. I mean, we went to big city. We were driving around. I went to get a map of the city, a street map of the city. And they handed me a book. I wanted a map. They handed me a book. It was called a Maps Code. Took me the longest time to figure out how to use that thing. But you'd find a road run out, and then all of a sudden, where you go now? You'd have to go to another place and look for where
exactly.
It continued on. Oh, my goodness. It was the craziest thing in the world. Ended up finding our way around because we had a map. Have you ever been to a city, try to find your way around, and looking at the map and realize you're looking at the wrong city's map? That's not a lot of fun either. That's another story. But anyway, faith's journey doesn't come with a road map. And accepting God's call means that. Look at verse number 8. I love this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. Everybody say yay.
Yay.
God said, go to this place, you're going to receive an inheritance. I don't know about you, but that sounds good, right?
Yep.
But then read on. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So stop and think about it for just a moment. In other words, here's Abraham. He's in Ur of Chaldees, on the banks of the Euphrates River. Now, in the world in that day, at that time, that would have been called a primo spot to be. It was a cosmopolitan city. It was a city of some 250,000 people, the archaeologists tell us. As a matter of fact, it was a place that was considered the center of mathematics, of learning. It was a center of astronomy. It was a center of commerce and philosophy. In other words, it was an ideal place for people to be. Ur of Chaldees. Abraham had land, he had cattle, he had an entourage, he had a wife. Abraham was doing all right. And God said, get up and go to this place. I've got an inheritance for you. How many people would have been in Abraham's position and thought, Lord, what do you mean? I've got everything I want right now. I'm doing okay. How many of you would say this morning, you don't have to raise your hand, but you would say as you look at your life, you know, I'm doing okay. I've got what I want. I've got my life. Everything's doing fine. What if God were to come to you and say, oh, by the way, I've got a different plan. All you got to do is get up from where you are, leave it all behind, go to fetch and get an inheritance that I'm going to promise you. And oh, by the way, I'm not telling you where that is. I'm not telling you how long it's going to take you to get there. And I'm not telling you what you're going to get on the other end, but just do what I ask. How many of you would say, yeah, I'm all in, Lord? Oh. I don't know about you, but that'd be a tough, tough sell. I think about when God first called us to Global Missions Fellowship to be in the mission on the mission field. And I remember I was at a church service, and the Holy Spirit just fell down. It was this incredible experience, and I was just moved, weeping at the altar, and I surrendered, and I told the person that was a representative for that mission agency, I'm all in. I'm leaving it all. I'm packing up. I'm raising funds. I'm going on staff with you. I believe God called, and they prayed. It was an exciting deal. Oh, it just so happened, like today, Debbie was at home in bed, sick, getting over a pretty long and pretty serious illness. And I had this great epiphany and this great experience. I'll never forget going home. I woke her up. Honey, honey, you're not going to believe. God's called us to missions. We're gonna pack up, sell everything, and we're going to move to Texas. And I'm going to be an international church planter. Isn't that exciting? She rolled over and she looked at me and she said, what? And I told her again, and like every spirit-filled wife, she said, you might, but I might. I'll never forget it. It was like, I was crushed. But all the rest is history. We know that she woke up, began to pray about it, and God spoke to her heart. But, you know, my timing was just a little bit off. Not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. You see, you need to remember that when God calls, there are no earthly guarantees about tomorrow. You see, the world tries to tell us that there's a certain way to do things. In God's economy, the way to do things is often opposite to the way the world says. The world says to get all you can and can all you get, right? God says give it away in order to receive. The world says, climb up on anybody you can in order to get ahead. Set yourself up in a dominant position, because that's where it's at. The Bible says the way up is to get down on your knees. The world says to just use anything you can in order to be great. God says the way to be great is to serve and to humble yourself before him and before others. Amen. See, God's economy oftentimes is so, so very different. When God calls, there are no earthly guarantees about tomorrow. See, all Abraham had was God's call and a promise and then nothing else. The NIV, I love the way the NIV words this. It says that Abraham, in Hebrews 11, it says, Abraham obeyed and went. Look what this put together. He obeyed and went. How many times have you in your life, or me in my life, when I've said, okay, Lord, I hear your call, I'm going to obey. And just as soon as I get things ready, and just as soon as I figure out the way it makes sense, then I'll put it all together, and oh, by then I'll go. I love it. I don't think it's by mistake. Abraham obeyed. And in obeying, what did he do?
He went.
He followed the call of God. And I would submit to you today that when Abraham left, he left Ur of Chaldees. He left all the land that he owned. He left all the prestige that he possibly had. He left the comfort that would have been probably the envy of a lot of folks. And he went to who knows where on the promise
of a God who loved him. And he went. And I'd submit to you that there was no greater blessing nor miracle in Abraham's life than the time when he chose to obey and then go. So faith's incredible journey means, secondly, that actively waiting on God to keep his promises. See, following faith's incredible journey means actively waiting on God to keep his promises. What does it say? Look at verse number 9. It says, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Begin to pray about that and think about what Abraham did and how he went. And I noticed the word, and it not only started with an A like the first point did, which, you know, that's like a requirement. But then it fit. It says he actively waiting. You see, God made a promise to Abraham. And the promise that he made to Abraham was implied that he would see it in some time to come. In other words, the implication was he needed to wait on that promise. But notice what he did in the process of waiting. He didn't wait for the map. He didn't wait for the road to be highlighted. He didn't wait for the route. He didn't wait for Siri to answer, these are your directions. Right? What did he do? He stepped out and he went and he followed God. And he did it actively. Abraham packed up all that he had. He left behind the land that he owned. And he took off. He left his place of dwelling. He left his place of comfort, that which he knew. And he stepped out, and what did he do? He clung to the promises of God. And he went to the promised land, and what did he find? He found in there a place of tents. He no longer lived in a permanent dwelling. He lived in tents. Think about that for just a moment. There were no permanent dwelling, no welcome sign, no housewarming party greeted him, right? There was no party. The mayor didn't meet him at the outskirts of the promised land and give him a key to the city. Oh. Nobody expected him, nobody cared, and nobody gave him anything. From the world's perspective, Abraham didn't make a lateral move, didn't make a progressive move. What did he do? He went backwards from what the world would say would be important. I think of Brent Anderson in the Psalm. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose. What did she say? Along with the sunshine. There's got to be a little rain. There you go. Some of you younger people going. That's okay. That's all right. I beg your pardon. Notice what I changed. He never promised you a rose garden. Listen, folks. Let me understand something. God promises the ultimate gifts to those who love Him.
Amen.
To those who are called by His name. There is no greater promise than the promise God gives in the person of His Son through the blood of His Son Jesus on Calvary's cross, forgiveness of sin, the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit, and the promise of glory forever and ever. There is no greater promise than that. But folks, I want you to know something. That's not the tangible promise that the world looks at, and sometimes they think we are out of our minds. But listen, there are those who are trying to tell you, as long as you're following God and in His will, there's never going to be any hardship. Uh-uh. Some will tell you, you just need to send more money because obviously your faith isn't good enough because you're getting sick. Right?
Yes.
Some people tell you if you follow God, it's going to be roses and cake and all this stuff. As long as you're in God's will, everything's going to be great. Folks, I'm here to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
Amen.
There are times when life is tough. Ask Paul when he was hanging on driftwood. Ask Job when he was minding his own business. Tough stuff started happening. I beg your pardon. He never promised you a rose garden, but what he promised you is eternal life in Christ and a home in glory.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. You see, sometimes we need to remember his promises mean so much more. Listen, child of God, look at me. I mean this with my whole heart. Some of us need to get our eyes up out of the depths and despair of our own circumstance. Look at me. And we need to remember we are just sojourners here. This world is not my home.
Amen.
That's right.
As the old gospel song says, I'm just passing through. Step out by faith. There's a Gaither band that sings, I'm living in my temporary realm. It's all temporary. See, following faith's journey means actively waiting on God to keep his promises. Listen, are you tired? Are you weary? Have you had enough with trying to serve God? Does it feel like all the people that are supposed to love him are the hardest on you of anybody else? Anybody ever been there? Listen to me. Trust me when I say this. Hang on. God's promises are true. They never, ever, ever, ever fail.
Amen.
And the best, my friend, is yet to come.
Oh, yes.
See, Abraham, by faith, actively went on the Lord's word and waited on God's promises. And even though that meant leaving behind what the world said was comfortable and spending the rest of his days pitching tents in the desert. Are you with me?
Right.
He was rewarded by the God who wrote the rules. Tents in the desert, in the middle of God's will, is so much better than a mansion by the river outside of his will.
Yeah.
Amen? So, faith's journey. Faith's incredible journey. It means accepting God's call comes without a map. Faith's incredible journey means actively waiting on God to keep his promises. And then third and finally, faith's incredible journey means always looking toward heaven's glory. You see, God doesn't tell us to step out from our comfort zone, to step into where he's called us to go, to follow a path that we're not sure about where the end result is. He's not calling us to put things behind us that the world says are great in order to follow him without telling us there is a place where we're headed. And there's something to look forward to. I don't know about you. Have you ever seen, I know it's like getting banned everywhere, but have you ever watched a greyhound dog race?
Yep.
Yes.
Anybody? Nobody wants to admit.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm
all right. What do they do? How do they get those dogs to run like that?
They have a rabbit.
They chase a rabbit. Right?
Yep.
And guess what?
They never catch
the rabbit, because you know what? The race things, people have figured out a way where there's this little automated contraption and a pole with the rabbit on it, and it goes around the track in front of it, and those dogs will run themselves to death, but won't ever catch that rabbit.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
But why do they run? Because there's a prize to chase.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they keep it up? Because there's the promise of a goal to catch. Friend, look at me. Never, ever forget that this is our temporary home. Are we to live in it?
Yes.
Are we to serve in it?
Yes.
Are we to be all that He wants us to be while here?
Yes.
Are we to enjoy abundantly that which He gives for those who are surrendered to Him?
Yes. Amen.
But don't forget, it's temporary. There is something yet to come. And then one of these days, in case you forgot, one of these days the Lord Jesus is going to step out of glory. Trumpet's going to sound. And Jesus is going to clothe Himself in a cloud. We're going to be called home.
Amen. Amen.
Then the reward. Amen.
That's right.
Then we catch the rabbit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Always looking toward heaven. Let's read that scripture again. For He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. I got thinking about this. You know what? It hit me for the very first time. I've never noticed it before. But in looking and thinking about it, I kept looking at words and picking out which words made sense and, you know, why it was important. And I kept being led to this thing that he went out and he pitched tents. He had tents. The scripture before said he had tents. Right?
Yeah.
He left where from the earth's world's perspective, he had foundations. He had a life. He had home. He had all these things. He lived in an abode that would have been anchored to the ground. But yet in following God's will and purpose, he stepped out on this journey. And through that journey, he lived in tents that could be picked up and moved and then put down again and picked up and moved and put down again. No foundations, just living on borrowed land in a tent that was temporary. What did he do? He looked toward the city that has foundations. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. That means something. The foundation, it means something. Abraham realized that any place he could be in this world did not offer the foundation and promise of that which God would give him.
Amen.
Amen.
Child of God, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you and I need to remember that this day. No matter what the world offers, no matter what the world says, my friend, they cannot offer anything that has the foundational truth of eternity, that the foundation of the city that God is building and the place that He's designing for you offers. Is life good for you now? I'll be honest. Somebody tell me what time it is. My watch has stopped.
11:35.
I'm good.
Yes.
Is life good for you right now? Answer that question honestly for yourself. Are things good? Are you happy?
Amen. Yeah.
My friend, I want to remind you, enjoy it, but don't grasp it too tightly. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not going to last forever.
He's a lot of Debbie Downer.
Yeah, but guess what? It's not going to last forever because God's got something better in store.
That's right.
Amen.
God's got something better. Mm-hmm. Do you know Him? Have you surrendered and trusted Him? Have you turned your life over to His will and direction? My friend, I want you to know, the best is still to come. Remember, following God's will doesn't guarantee worldly success. Now, I'll be honest and tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am, you could take everything I can do, all my business management ability, put it in a thimble, and still have a shot left over. I ain't good at all that stuff. But I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because of the blessing of God and the position He's given me and the people that I get to look out and see every single week, my life is a success. From God's perspective, it matters. From God's perspective, the blessing is real. And the promise, ooh, glory. You see, treasures are being laid up in heaven. And they matter so, so, so much more. Faith is an incredible journey. Amen?
Amen.
Faith is just that. What does Paul say? It's the evidence of things not
seen.
What's hoped for, but not seen. Friend, listen to me. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we need to remember that getting in on faith's journey means that there's no map for each step of the way. Getting on faith's, in on faith's journey means that in the process, you actively wait on God's promises. They don't always come when we think they ought to come. They don't always come when we think we need them. They will come when God says it's time. And third, we need to always keep our eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes lifted up. Look toward the eastern sky. Gaze every now and then toward heaven and imagine what it will be when the God of the universe calls you home. Hang on to the promise. The journey of faith always leads home. The journey of faith always leads to the ultimate promise of your holy God. Faith's journey means victory. When it's all said and done, can I get a witness?
Amen.
I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to close our service this morning with a hymn of invitation. What I want you to think about in this invitation hymn is that, first of all, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then stop wasting time. Let me stop you. Stop wasting time. Stop saying no. Listen, I can tell you by the experience of my own life and the experience of countless dozens and dozens and dozens of lives whom I've had the honor of counseling with. If you do it on your own, you will fail.
Amen.
And ultimately, the promise that we're talking about cannot be yours without Him. So just say, Lord, here I am, undone, guilty of sin. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I let go. I surrender. I give my life to You. And if you do that, The Bible says that he will forgive you. Why? Because he shed his blood to pay the price and penalty for your sin. And he rose again so you can rise again to be with him in glory. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus, just simply say, yes, Lord, and step out from where you are and come down here. I beg you. I implore you. Make that right. But then secondly, I mean this with my whole heart. There are people in this room this morning. I know it's true. I sense it by the Holy Spirit. There are people in this room just like me who struggle sometimes with understanding what God's doing in my life. We ask the question, Lord, I need life. I would submit to you that through the process and through the desert trek, there was a lot of times Abraham thought to himself, what did I do wrong? But God's promise was true. It was realized. Folks, I want you to know, hold on. Look toward heaven. Hang on to his promise. Actively wait for what he's doing. Trust him to lead the way. Stop looking at the world map. And start sensing God's divine map. And follow him every step of the way. If you're here today, and you would say, I really, really need to live more temporarily and focus on home. I'm going to ask you to do something I promise I don't ask often. But would you move in response to the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Would you move forward and come and gather around this altar and pray and ask God to do a mighty work in your life? Right now, as everybody's praying, would you just step out from where you are and say, Lord, I choose to follow you. I want to be in tune with you. I want to live actively, looking toward heaven, waiting on your promises. Would you do that? Would you join me? I'm going to go to the altar, and I'm going to say, Lord, here I am. Move in my life. If you need Jesus, come forward. Tap me on the shoulder, and we'll pray together. You too can be saved. Right now, as we pray together, I ask you, if God were to move, church, would you join me?
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also like us on Facebook at Grace Point Church SC, follow us on Twitter at Grace Point SC, Instagram Grace Point Simpsonville, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. You can also listen to Pastor Ben's other sermons on YouTube or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.